Tuesday. I hate when people say that. Tuesday.
Why do people say it that way? It's not right. What's wrong with people? Why would they say it that way? To be irritating?
Some people say news.
Who says that?
I have some news to report.
Who? Same name.
Angela Lansbury.
Angela Lansbury. Remember, she used to break into network programming with some news.
I have some news.
Yeah. And people would say, Jessica Fletcher, this isn't your place to tell us the news. This must be very important news.
Was that her character on Murder, She Wrote?
Yeah, Jessica Fletcher.
Can I tell you, I never watched that show ever in my entire life. And then I'm embarrassed to admit a show I did watch all the time.
Hmm.
Hunter.
Why would you watch Hunter?
With Fred.
Dreyer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know, Bill. I was working...
Hunter doesn't seem like a show that would appeal to you. I'm shocked that you would watch Hunter on a regular basis and totally ignore the fine work of Angela Lansbury.
Were they on at the same time?
Yeah.
You know what it was? I was working at the Loop radio station and I started...
They weren't, by the way.
They weren't at the same time?
Hunter was normally on Friday nights. And,
no, I mean the same era.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. About the same time, yeah.
Yeah, but... the fact that Hunter was on Friday nights, I worked Friday overnight. Like, I didn't start work till 2 a.m.,
oh,
2
so
to
5:30. Hunter and then go into work.
Yeah, because I couldn't, you know, I didn't want to go out and then go to work because I didn't want to be drunk on the air.
Right, well.
Things have changed.
Yeah. Okay. Thank goodness you came to your senses.
So it seemed like every Friday night I would watch that.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny, Bill, because you did the same thing. When you were younger, you did stand-up. I did radio. And we gave each and every weekend and holiday to our careers.
Yes, we sure did.
And now you
have... How noble of both of us.
Well, that's just kind of what you did to pay your dues.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's funny because you have people that start a job and they're like, I have to work a weekend?
Yeah.
Wait, I have to work a holiday?
Yeah.
We worked every holiday, every weekend.
Yes.
For all the social years of our lives, it's amazing we met someone.
I guess so. Yeah. You're right. I never thought about it.
Social years of our
life. And then for me, I didn't like to go out on Saturdays. Like when I was in high school, because the Saturday night television lineup, in my opinion, was so strong with, Bob Newhart and Mary Tyler Moore and Carol Burnett.
I'm surprised you ever met a woman.
My friends go, where are we going Saturday? And I go, going? I got Bob Newhart, Mary Tyler Moore, and Carol Burnett. I'm not going anywhere.
See, my kids stay home, and I don't know what's wrong with them. I think
it's a good move.
I honestly, as a parent, I really do like
it. Yeah, you want to know where they are.
Yeah, and they, you know, they're either playing video games, or one of them's playing guitar, or they're watching movies with us. But all I could wait for, I was like Mike Reno from Loverboy. All I did was work for the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So Friday, Saturday, and sometimes Sunday during the day, I was gonski.
You were doing things. You were not
from junior high on. Who was having a party? Where do we go? Could we walk around the mall for a while?
I tried to talk my friends that were having parties on Saturday to reschedule. I go, why don't we do something Friday? You know, I don't want to miss the Blockbuster CBS lineup. So let's do something later in the week. What would be the harm in that?
Where did you meet Terry? Was she at a
mail
show?
Mail order bride?
No.
Yes, she is. Yes, she is.
Because I met my husband at the Loop radio station where I worked. And
he was the 11th caller.
No. He worked there as well, smartass.
Oh, I
but
forgot.
I mean, all the social year, and he used to work, honest to God, he would bring his pillow and sleep in the green room, the
he
jock
had dedication.
Lounge. Because, you know, he was from Northbrook, so to drive in the city and then work like eight hours, and then in 3 hours he'd have to be back at work,
so he would just
sleep there.
Yeah, that's tough, yeah.
Yeah, but that's where I met him, you know. But where did you meet Terry? Was she at a comedy show of yours? Did she have a funny laugh?
No, we met at Second City. We were doing stuff at
that.
Second City together.
See? That's a good place to meet someone.
Yes.
Mutual interests.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
That's all I wanted to know.
And I stole her away from her boyfriend, George Maharis.
You didn't. I almost believed you for a minute until you said George Maharis.
George Maharis and my wife were shacking up, and I said, enough of this.
Was this after?
I'll take this lovely woman from you, George Maharis.
Was that after West Side Story?
It was, yeah. It was
Wasn't
right
he
after.
Bernardo?
Yeah. So he was still living off that glow, and women loved him.
Oh, with the purple shirt, Bernardo.
Yeah.
Bernardo.
And I said, your days are limited, George Maharis. I will be taking your woman. And I did.
You know, life is just fun with you, isn't it?
I don't know what's real. I have no idea what's real. All right. There are three different things that I'm hoping to discuss at some point. I'll let you decide. We can talk about the Academy Award nominations that were earlier today. We can talk about the return to stand-up comedy of one Bill Cosby.
Yeah, I got
to
do that.
Let's discuss that for
a little bit.
Where
have I been? I didn't hear this in the news.
This is insane, because I was sure with everything that's gone on with Bill Cosby that he would never show his face on a stage again, but I was wrong.
All of us, I think, thought that.
U.S. comedian Bill Cosby. Oh, the third thing we may get to on today's show. We can talk about the Academy Awards later, too. But there's been another interesting development in the Turpin case in California.
Oh,
Parents of the Year. Yeah. So we'll discuss that. We'll try our best to get that in before the show is over in the next 40 minutes or so.
13 and Starving.
That would be a great title. That would be a great title. U.S. comedian Bill Cosby performed his first stand-up gig. I hate that word, by the way.
Gig?
I like to say job.
It's gig. It's a gig.
People who say that, though, tend to be a little too show businessy.
Yeah, but I have a son who's a musician, and if he has a gig, it's a gig, and it doesn't sound...
What if he said, I'm going to play, or I got a job?
That would sound funny.
That would sound funny? I don't say gig unless I'm chatting with my old friend Gig Young, Wendy. In which case, I call him Job Young, because I don't like the word gig. U.S. comedian Bill Cosby.
You are appealing to about how many people listening, would you say?
Fans of George Maharis's and Gig Young's are enjoying the show immensely. I already got a telegram. They sent me a telegram telling me how much they're enjoying today's program.
No, the telegram just said stop.
Right. I assumed that meant, please, you're hurting my sides. That's what I thought it meant.
No.
U.S. comedian Bill Cosby performed his first stand-up job since being swept up in sex scandals. He was joking in Philadelphia on Monday about his blindness and fueling criticism on social media. The 80-year-old entertainer's appearance, yes, you heard me right, Bill Cosby is 80 years old. The 80-year-old entertainer's appearance at the La Rose Jazz Club marked his first show since 2015 and came ahead of an April retrial for an alleged 2004 sexual assault in suburban Philadelphia. Cosby, who starred in the 1980s TV series The Cosby Show, oh, that's where I know him from. I'm like, where do I know this guy's name from, Bill Cosby? Here's him getting some raggots and some rolls and some Raisin Hymens. Every day. Every day.
Is this why he didn't go out?
That was his diet. His raggots and rolls and Raisin Hymens.
Is this not the coolest? Is this Quincy Jones?
Quincy Jones.
Has to be.
Isn't the name of this song Hickaboo?
Yeah.
It is, right?
Yeah.
This is the theme that opened up his show when he was Chet Kincaid. This was the original Bill Cosby show. He was Chet Kincaid. He was a high school gym coach. Very enjoyable program.
It really was a good
very
a good
enjoyable
show.
Program.
Quincy Jones.
The landlady. No, not the landlady. The lady who cleaned up around the high school there.
The janitor lady. The landlady?
Yeah, she wouldn't have a landlady, I guess. Why would a high school have a landlady?
The super?
The cleaning lady. The cleaning lady. Was played by? No guesses?
Elena Verdugo?
No. She was on two episodes. She is best known as an iconic film monster.
Greta Garbo.
No. Was Greta Garbo known as a film monster? I hope not.
I have no idea.
Elsa Lanchester.
I don't know who that is.
Bride of Frankenstein.
Ah.
She played the lady who cleaned up around the high school.
She did the same makeup?
Yes. She used the same makeup. Bill Cosby, who starred in the 1980s TV series The Cosby Show, has seen his family-friendly reputation destroyed by dozens of sexual assault allegations. He has denied assaulting anybody, saying any encounters with his accusers were consensual.
Yeah, while they were asleep.
There is that angle.
Seriously,
no, that's true.
How do you give consent when you're out of it?
Yeah, when you've been given a roofie. Or a Rudy, because it's Bill Cosby. Online video footage showed Cosby wearing a sweatshirt and seated on a stool at the club.
This is pretty much how
that's
we saw
his uniform.
What was it? Hello, Friend?
Hello, Friend. This pays tribute to his son,
mm-hmm.
died tragically. Describing people's reactions when he walks into things that he cannot see.
We heard that, too.
Cosby. Yeah, he did a little bit of that, didn't he?
In fact, when he was autographing stuff for my kids, he was like, you're going to have to put it right in front of me here because I can't really see it.
Pretty much blind. Cosby said, there's a perfectly good word called stop. Now he's referring to the fact that he's blind and he's bumping into things. But I think he could have also said there's a perfectly word called stop to describe other aspects of his life at this point.
Well, isn't it weird that he says that? Because stop means stop.
Stop means stop.
And he
That's
didn't
what I'm
stop.
Saying.
Yeah.
But he's putting it in the context of, I'm an older gentleman who's blind and I bump into things. So
I think
you
he was double
yourself.
Entendring.
So he says, there's a perfectly good word called stop, not oh, which drew laughs from the crowd. Guilty laughs? I would feel guilty. Watching him would make me feel guilty. Laughing at him would also make me feel guilty because I'd say to myself, I'm giving him pleasure and I don't think I want to give him pleasure right now.
He's had enough pleasure.
Usually, yes. Yes, he's had enough pleasure.
Wouldn't it be terrible, though, if he performed and after every joke...
Boo.
Or just like...
Silence.
Or something.
Yeah, astonishment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ooh, like that.
Right.
That would be
That
hurtful.
Would be deadly. That would be. Cosby's show was widely criticized on Twitter with novelist Terry McMillan saying, if you gave me front row seats to see Bill Cosby, I would burn them. Jeff Romaine tweeted, no one, all caps, should ever go to see him publicly without bringing a sack full of rotten fruit to throw. I would feel bad for the fruit. That's from Jeff Romaine.
He should have gone with the lettuce.
Yeah, because his name's Romaine.
Yeah.
I don't know why he didn't do that. Cosby is scheduled to go on trial April 2nd on charges that he drugged and assaulted Andrea Constand at her home in the Philadelphia suburb of Cheltenham. His first trial ended in a mistrial that took place back in June. Pennsylvania prosecutors asked the judge in the case last week to allow the testimony of 19 other accusers, including 12 women, who were not allowed to testify at the entertainer's first trial. Now, I'm trying to find video footage of his performance,
there
and
has
I can't
to be.
Find it.
Somebody had
must
to
have.
Use their smartphone.
Yeah, I would imagine. But I can't. For some reason, it's not showing up. It must be here somewhere. I wonder, did they advertise that he was going to perform, or was this a surprise to the
did
audience?
Did you know?
I had no idea.
Where was it again?
In Philadelphia.
Oh, that's where he's from, where he's residing now?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, I think it was just a last-minute thing, because it would have been hyped a lot more.
It was at something called the LaRose Jazz Club.
Like an open mic kind of thing. He just decided, I want to go do it.
They're kind of vague on that. I don't know if this was scheduled or not. But if it was scheduled, I'm interested for the for who exactly decided that would be a fun evening to attend.
And how much were tickets?
Doesn't say. But normally, seeing him is a very, very expensive night out. I believe those days are long gone.
It was a surprise stand-up.
Oh, it was.
Yeah.
So when they introduce his name, do you imagine the crowd gasped or applauded or booed, or was it a mix of everything? What do you think the... What do you think the response was to, ladies and gentlemen, a little surprise for you tonight? The Comedy Stylings of Mr. Bill Cosby.
Listen,
like, what do you get
if
from
if you're
that?
At a jazz club and you hear somebody say that, or all of a sudden Bill Cosby just walks up on stage and introduces himself, you're not going to leave. You're not. You're going to go, is that really Bill? That's Bill Cosby.
I guess I would have to see it through.
Yeah.
Now, if you'll remember, Wendy, when you and I saw him at the Chicago Theater 3 years ago.
That was only three years ago?
That was 3 years ago. Yeah. Unlike any stand-up show I've ever seen, ever, here's what normally goes down. Somebody makes the announcement, either on stage or off stage. You know, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for coming tonight. We now present Bill Cosby. They announce him. With Bill Cosby, there was no announcement at all. He just kind of walked out on stage. People were kind of milling about and talking in the audience. He walked out on stage and just started talking to a couple of tables up front. And then more and more people went, wait, I think that is that him? I think that's him.
It was really cool.
10 minutes later, he had the full respect of the audience. But I've never seen anybody go up unannounced, no special lighting, no special anything. Just I walk out, I start to talk, there's your show.
I might have a little of Bill Cosby.
From yesterday?
Yeah, this is TMZ, which is, God, the forefront of everything nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
And the headline is, Bill Cosby works older crowd and first comedy show since trial. Let's see what this is. He's back doing stand-up or sit-down for the first time since his sexual assault trial last summer. Sorry,
okay,
hang on, we got
one.
A commercial. The darn TMZ. I don't have TMZ Plus.
Oh, you don't?
Cosby performed a live comedy set Monday at the La Rose Jazz Club alongside Tony Williams' Jazz Quartet. Most of Cosby's material focused on the comedian's struggle with blindness. He didn't touch on his pending trial.
That would have been interesting.
Yeah.
That would have been so interesting.
All right,
I'm not saying good, I'm not saying bad, I'm just saying really interesting. There was an excerpt that I saw last night where evidently one of the guys there brought his kid. One of the guys in the band, in the jazz band, had his kid there. So Bill Cosby starts talking to this kid who's 11, and he goes, "Do you know who I am?" And the kid wasn't really sure who he was, and he said, "I used to be a stand-up comedian," which is tragic.
Yeah, that is.
For so many reasons.
Here, let's see what TMZ has to say. Right. Hopefully this is something.
"Now, I have a daughter, very intelligent young lady. She said, watch it, watch it, watch it, watch it. My wife, who loves me and does not want me to walk into anything, says, why doesn't these grown people get up? You know, I can understand if it was a baby. But I'm a grown-up. I understand. Stop. People bring things to you. They put it down. They say, I brought you to so-and-so, and it's right here."
I'm not following it. A little hard to understand, but certainly not funny.
But the crowd is eating it up.
Because it's Bill Cosby, and they don't know how to react. And he looks pretty good.
Yeah.
He really does. He's got the, you know, gray sweatshirt that says hello, friend, in all rainbow colors, a shaved head. He's got a microphone that, you know, comes down over his ear into his mouth.
Yeah.
And he looks pretty good. He's 80, what?
80, I think. I think he's 80.
He looks pretty good. And I don't know. I got to tell you, if I was there watching Bill Cosby,
you get swept up in it?
Maybe I would.
Because they seem to be enjoying it immensely. And his timing seemed like now he hasn't done stand-up for almost 3 years, but his timing didn't seem to have suffered at all. It was right on par. It sounded like the Bill Cosby of old, but I'm very shocked that the audience was that into it, because this was a show that was kind of thrust upon them, we have learned. He wasn't billed. Nobody paid a ticket to see him. They came to see this show, and he was part of it, but he sounded like he was doing really well. I'm shocked.
Can we hear a little more?
Sure, yeah.
All right, here's Bill Cosby in Philly.
"And they get mad at you. People get mad at blind people for saying, right here, where? Look." "And that's another thing. You don't tell a blind person, look.
Oh, blind people look.
Why don't you just say, listen?"
Yeah.
"It's ridiculous."
All right, that's kind of funny.
He's doing all right. I didn't think we'd see that.
But it had to be this way. They're there to see a jazz quartet play or a jazz ensemble, and then all of a sudden, ladies and gentlemen, Bill Cosby.
Right.
You wouldn't walk out. I know you. You're there. You didn't go to spend money to see Bill Cosby. He just happens to be there.
Right.
The curiosity in everyone would be
It'd
like,
be too
I gotta
high
see
to
what this
miss.
Guy's got going on.
No, that's probably true. That's very true.
Huh. Judy, would you walk out?
Probably.
Really? You didn't go to see him. You're going to see a jazz ensemble at some club.
Did
in
he
Philly.
Open?
He just
doesn't
it was
say.
A surprise
it was part
performance.
Of the show.
He just.
But I mean, did they already see the show they came to see, and then he came on?
It doesn't say what the order was.
No.
If he came up before,
because
or after.
I think that would make maybe a difference.
Yeah.
He was alongside the Tony Williams Jazz Quartet, so they must have played, and then all of a sudden, here's Bill Cosby.
Right.
There's no way you'd leave. You'd be like, maybe he's going to address his case. Why is he here?
How did Kevin Spacey do after Bill Cosby? Did he do pretty good?
I understand he performed at a preschool. Oh, that was bad and too soon.
And you know,
oh, my God.
The fact is, Bill Cosby is funny. He's not funny.
Right.
It's just a matter of.
But you wouldn't have walked. If you heard there's a show, Bill Cosby's going to be in his first stand-up routine his job, not a gig,
yeah.
since his sexual issues.
That's what the MC should say. All everything you just said, the MC. Here's a guy you haven't seen since his sexual issues.
Sexual
please welcome.
Assault charges. Yes.
Sexual assault charges. Please welcome
but
Bill
I mean,
Cosby.
If it was advertised, I wouldn't buy a ticket to
no.
go see him. You wouldn't either. But if you're at a club to see, you know, you're just there having a nice old-fashioned or a Manhattan, and you're listening to some jazz, and all of a sudden there's Bill Cosby, and he starts doing stand-up, there's no way you'd walk out. I
you
would have to see what was going on.
I think there'd be a percentage of people that go,
you'd see what you just said?
I'm not
you would never,
for this.
Yeah, you would never go see him. So
but
why
it's
would
just
you sit
because
there?
All of a sudden it's there, your curiosity, because for 10 minutes you'd be going, is that really him?
And the whole thing was weird. Why? What?
I don't know why.
It's a jazz ensemble and he came out?
Because well, then he played drums. You want to hear a little of that? He's playing drums with the jazz ensemble. Not very good.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the purpose of that was.
He's just hitting the hi-hat.
So now that he's done this once, because it's been 3 years since he did stand-up, or almost 3 years. So he's done it once. He completed it. People seem to enjoy it. Does that fuel his need to do this more?
Yes.
Do you think he'll start doing this more?
And he doesn't get to do that's it. That's why I'd have to make a stand.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't get to do that.
But there's no...
Would you heckle him?
Well, you know what I mean by that? It's stupid. He can do whatever he wants, but...
But, Drew, that's the weird part is, according to the stories that we have found about this, there's no opposition. Like, there's no part of the story that said... crowds were outraged
right.
at the idea that
no,
Bill
they're
Cosby.
Laughing.
They're enjoying
booed.
It.
Nobody, yeah.
Yes.
There's a guy in the front row here who is just cracking
it.
Up.
I know.
Well, he knew his crowd. He knew his audience,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
He knew where he'd probably be more accepted.
Right. 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 All right. Let's take a quick break. Judy will give you the news, and then there's more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Thank you, Jude.
The Academy Award nominations were announced earlier today. We have all the nominations. We also have who was left off. You know,
and
every
usually,
year
don't
snubs.
They follow suit with the Golden Globes for the most
They're
part?
They're always very close to the Golden Globes.
A little different this time, though.
Yeah, a couple of notable exceptions. Most of all, we want to mention that Greta Gerwig, the director of the movie Lady Bird, was nominated for Best Director, becoming only the fifth woman in motion picture history to be nominated for an Academy Award as a director, which is horrible.
But can I just say something here?
Yeah.
I mean, the majority of the directors are men.
Yeah.
So therefore, if there's more men going up for an award, there's a bigger chance of a man winning.
Without
it.
A doubt.
So,
without a doubt.
I mean, you don't want to be given, trust me, being a woman, you don't want to be given something just because you're a woman.
Right, sure. Yeah,
so
what does that accomplish?
The odds, you know, now it's time. There are more women directors, so more women directors are going to be given awards.
The numbers are getting better, but they're still so out of line, and I'm baffled by this, because especially now that Hollywood is going out of their way to talk about equality and stuff like this, so instead of just talking about it, do something about it, hire women to direct the movie. There was a time when you and I were growing up where... For some reason, African-American guys weren't quarterbacks of football teams. There was absolutely no reason for it whatsoever. And then all of a sudden, people went, well, that's ridiculous. Let's get a quarterback who's an African-American guy. Why wouldn't we? The same thing is going on with women directing movies in Hollywood, not just Academy Award-nominated movies. But there are times where there's no major movies that are directed by women, and it shouldn't be that way.
Well, is it because women aren't getting the jobs or women aren't trying to get the jobs? Because it might be a little of both.
There's always women that want the jobs.
But are they good enough?
See, that's the thing is you have to have some experience. One of the things that you always hear Hollywood bigwigs say is, you know, we hire the most experienced, so you have to get the experience somehow. And a lot of times that could come from maybe directing television shows or videos or something, but... It's a travesty that only five women in the history of movies
it's
have been nominated
five.
To be directors. Now, I will also say the same thing of African Americans. Jordan Peele was nominated for the movie Get Out. He wrote and directed Get Out. He becomes only the fifth African American ever nominated for Best Director. That shouldn't be either, you know?
That movie I truly enjoyed. I have not seen The Stepford Wives, which you said it was very similar to.
It is.
But as I was watching it, in a weird way, I'm like, I don't know, is this... Academy Award material?
It's, you know, it's funny. There are movies that are made every year that have almost all the earmarks of the type of movie that gets nominated. And I don't think a lot of the movies that were nominated this time around have that kind of a feel where you go, this is a spectacle. This is a once-in-a-lifetime event, this movie. This should be nominated for all kinds of Academy Awards. It's an interesting movie. First of all, a lot of... You could almost qualify Get Out as a horror movie.
Yes.
There's a lot more to it. But there's social commentary.
I didn't find it to be funny, and it's listed as a comedy. That's what I don't understand. Same thing, like Orange is the New Black is under comedy. To me, that's really not a comedy.
They're hard to put in one place, because some of them have elements of drama and comedy, so you don't know which side to sway it towards.
But here's the deal. You go to a funeral, that is a sad event.
Right.
Every once in a while, there's a comical moment,
right.
But it's still a funeral.
Right.
So
right,
I think
right.
It should be still a drama.
Right.
No, I find that so hard to be in a comedy.
Well, with the Academy Awards, they don't break it down as comedies and dramas. With some of the other award shows, like Golden Globes,
okay.
They do. But with the Academy Awards, they don't break it down comedy and drama. Everything's lumped together.
I just know that, you know, we're a film student and you love film, and I don't typically watch films that much. So to me, I didn't think that was like, oh my God, this has Academy Award written all over it.
When it first came out, early reviews said, look for this to be, at the end of the year, look for this to be on all kinds of 10 best lists and Academy Award nominated. And I went, I think they're being a little kind. I don't know that you're going to see that, but it made it. It was nominated for several awards, including Best Picture. I'll go through the whole list.
Did you see Lady Bird yet?
I still haven't seen it.
I haven't either, and I'm dying to.
I've heard mixed things.
Me too.
And I love Saoirse Ronan, the girl who's the lead, and Laurie Metcalf plays her mom. Love her. Every time they show a clip, the Screen Actors Guild Awards were on the other night, and they kept showing a couple of clips that I've seen before, but I laugh at the same time every time.
Yeah.
So it looks like a really good movie. This woman, I don't know if you've ever seen Greta Gerwig in anything before. Very, very talented. I saw
she's an actress?
Yeah, she's an actress and a writer and a director.
Say.
And I saw her in some Ben Stiller movie years ago, like maybe 7 years ago, 6 or 7 years ago. And I had never seen her before. And I went, wow, is she good? She kind of came out of nowhere for me. I know she had done some bit parts and things prior to that, but... really very talented. So whatever awards they want to give her, fine by me. All right. Do we want to go category by category? Is it worth doing it? Start out with Best Picture, Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri.
I haven't seen that yet, and I'm dying to.
Now
and is that based on a true story or no?
I don't think so. It might be. I don't think so, though. That's one of the movies I'm referring to where I say to myself, this doesn't look like it would be nominated for Academy Awards. It just looks like a small story movie. But I think in this one, the acting is so strong from almost everybody. Everybody in the cast is strong. But the acting is so good, and the directing and the writing is so good that I guess it deserves it. I enjoyed the movie. It's one of my favorite movies of the year. The Post was nominated for Best Picture. That's a story about the Washington Post. Call Me by Your Name, which I have not seen.
I haven't either.
Darkest Hour. Dunkirk. Dunkirk's one of my favorite movies of the year. Yeah. Get Out, which we were just talking about. Lady Bird. Phantom Thread, which is Daniel Day-Lewis's, what he says is his last movie.
Like Cher said it was her last.
Cher also said that's the last movie she'll see. And The Shape of Water, which I enjoyed immensely. I saw that the other night.
Really?
Really
is. See, that looks crazy. That looks like, you know, Creature from the Black Lagoon love story.
That would be the perfect way to describe it. I mean, there's more. There's a little bit more to it than that, but basically you just described it.
All right.
Yeah. And the guy who directed it, Guillermo del Toro, has become one of my favorite directors. He's always interesting. The movie has... some movies do this more than other movies, but there's a color palette to the movie. Like anytime there's a scene that deals with the creature, you get a lot of blues and greens, like watery colors.
I like that.
Whenever you see Michael Shannon's character at home, you get a lot of oranges and yellows. Depending on what the mood is of the scene, the colors of the scene reflect it. And it starts out kind of, jolting, but then as the movie gets on, you just kind of accept it, and it adds to it.
Sounds really super cool.
Yeah, it is. I always enjoy his work, but this is one of my favorite movies of the year, The Shape of Water. All right, Best Actress, Sally Hawkins, who is the woman, the lead in Shape of Water, the woman who falls in love with the sea monster. Frances McDormand, who's as quirky can be on air and off. But boy, can she make a movie great, you know?
And I did look it up because a lot of people were wondering, is this based on a true story? The answer is simply no, but there is a backstory to the tale that's worth knowing. Director Martin McDonough spoke with the LA Times about the inspiration behind the all-too-real plot. While on a road trip across America, the UK-born filmmaker sat on a bus and saw three billboards outside the window in middle of nowhere, Texas. It was this raging, painful message calling out the cops about a crime, McDonough said. The title came from the concept, and the concept came from that image, which stayed in my mind for years. What kind of pain would lead somebody to do that? It takes a lot of guts and a lot of anger. So someone was definitely criticizing the police department, and that gave him the idea.
Interesting.
That is pretty interesting. I'm dying to see that.
Everybody in the movie's good, but Sam Rockwell is an actor who's been around Hollywood for about 20 years and one of the most perfect character actors. He just kind of, whatever the part is, he just becomes it and you accept that he's that good of an actor. But in this movie, he just kind of outdoes himself. He's been great in other movies before, but he's so good that a lot of times, even though he's great in a movie, it almost goes unnoticed.
Like, I didn't even know who he was. Has he been in movies that I've seen?
Oh, yeah. He's been in so many movies. He's in, I've told you about this movie Matchstick Men before, yes, which is with he and Nicolas Cage. They play con artists. I think he's so good in that.
How's Nicolas Cage in that?
Nicolas Cage is great in that. He really is. Yeah, Nicolas Cage is one of the greatest over actors in the history of cinema.
Yep.
But every once in a while, the part just works with his style of acting.
Like Peggy Sue? What? Got married?
Like Peggy Sue got married.
With my teeth? I sound more like Owen Wilson.
It does sound a little like Owen Wilson. But Sam Rockwell's been one of those actors who, if he's been under the radar for years and years, maybe this will be the change of things, because you can't help but notice how good he is in this movie. And it's one of those parts where it'd be easy to overdo this part because it's such a big part. He plays kind of a racist deputy in this small town in Missouri.
And Woody Harrelson is the main guy?
Yeah, he's the main cop.
I gotta see it.
I think you'd enjoy it.
Although I'm telling you, I'm looking at Sam Rockwell's thing, and I don't think there's one movie I've seen that he's been in.
Nothing? No?
Not really. Seven Psychopaths.
Did you ever see the movie Moon?
No.
Moon has the greatest premise of all time, but it doesn't really pay off. He's an astronaut on the moon, and his job is to just oversee things. He's by himself on the moon, and he only has a limited amount of time before it's his turn to go back to Earth. He's got like another couple of weeks, and then his whole duration of time is up. And then he's doing rounds on the moon, and he finds what looks like a body, and he gets closer to it and closer to it, and then he turns it over, and it is a body, and then he looks at the face, and it's him. He's dead on the moon. And then the movie just takes off from there. But as great as that sounds, and I saw the preview for this, and I go, this is going to be the greatest sci-fi movie of all time. It kind of falls apart as the movie gets older.
Really?
As the movie goes on, it just kind of becomes...
Kevin Spacey's in it, too. Funny Spacey in a movie.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
So do you see a Kevin Spacey movie now? That's the question.
That's a good question. Margot Robbie was nominated for Best Actress for I, Tonya.
She was really great at that because she, and this sounds terrible. I know it does.
She's too pretty.
That's what I thought at first, but, and a different shape, face, just everything. But she really did a good job portraying Tonya Harding.
Yes, she did. When I first heard that she was the one playing her in the movie, I go, oh, they have horribly miscast this. They should have found somebody different. She
was
made
really
it work.
Good.
Saoirse Ronan, we mentioned for Lady Bird, she's one of my favorite young actresses, always good and stuff. If you've never seen the movie Atonement, you need to see that.
I haven't seen that.
She's very young in that, but you could just tell that her acting chops go beyond her age, even as a young kid. And then a woman named, I hope I'm saying this right, Meryl Streep.
I think that's pretty close.
For The Post. And she's been nominated for something before. I've not seen it yet.
It looks really good about the Washington Post. It really does, but I...
No urge to see it?
I don't know, and I'm just kind of surprised with the star-studded cast and, you know, with newspapers being very important in a time right now that didn't do better.
I think a lot of people get the feeling that they've either seen this or a very close version of this before. That's how I kind of, anytime they show the clips for it, I go, oh man, Meryl Streep and Bob Odenkirk and Tom Hanks and Ron Howard. This is going to be, or not, is it Ron Howard or is it Spielberg?
It's Spielberg.
Directed it.
It's Spielberg.
Yeah. So you go, well, this can't miss. But for some reason, the urgency to see it hasn't been there. I'll see it before the awards, but I hope it's good. Best actor, a young kid named Timothy Chalamet for Call Me By Your Name, who everybody says is magnificent in the movie.
Yeah, I've heard everybody talk about him.
Daniel Day-Lewis, perhaps our greatest actor of all time. Perhaps. If he's not, he's right up there. He says this is his last movie, Phantom Thread. Daniel Kaluuya from Get Out. Gary Oldman from Darkest Hour. He plays Winston Churchill. And Denzel Washington.
That's kind of a surprise, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, because that was a movie that wasn't really...
What movie was it?
It's Roman J. Israel Esquire.
I don't know that I've ever heard of it. I love Denzel.
Yeah, I love Denzel Washington, too.
And he's a great actor.
This seems to be Gary Oldman. Early returns are Gary Oldman's going to walk away with this.
Winston
Churchill. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Best Supporting Actress. A surprise here, Mary J. Blige for Mudbound. Oh.
Didn't see that.
A singer, primarily a singer.
She's been in a couple things, though.
Yeah.
Acting.
Allison Janney, who I would put everything down, she'll win for I, Tonya.
She is a very attractive woman who I just haven't really seen in a bunch of things. I haven't watched her regular television series too much.
Good actress.
She was so wonderful, and I mean a terrible person, but a great portrayal of a terrible person.
It's the kind of role that usually wins the award.
She was very
flawed character,
and it made me feel much better of being a mom.
I'm
way better than Tonya Harding's mom.
God,
just the things Tonya had to endure.
Leslie Manville, who I know nothing about, for Phantom Thread. That's the Daniel Day-Lewis movie we were discussing earlier. Laurie Metcalf for Lady Bird. And Octavia Spencer, who's always money in the bank.
Yeah.
You can't go wrong with Octavia Spencer. She's great as the best friend in Shape of Water. Supporting actor, the always creepy Willem Dafoe.
Yeah, he is.
Always creepy. Woody Harrelson, he's so good in Three Billboards.
He's a good actor, Woody Harrelson.
Is he?
He really, I mean, Natural Born Killers, he really was really good in that.
Would you put him into, all right, think about Tom Hanks when he was doing Bosom Buddies. You would, as good as he was in Bosom Buddies, you wouldn't go, well, that's a guy who will win two Academy
Awards.
Never
would have thought that.
Never. Woody Harrelson, when he's Woody Boyd on Cheers, you never go, here's a guy who every now and then gets nominated for an Academy Awards and is always good.
Never.
You wouldn't imagine that.
I never would have pictured that. He's a good actor.
Richard Jenkins, great in The Shape of Water. Very, very convincing. Christopher Plummer, who got into the movie All the Money in the World because of Kevin Spacey. They pulled Kevin Spacey out of this movie.
He's up for an award?
Yeah, nominated for playing J. Paul Getty.
How does that happen?
He's great. He's always good. And then Sam Rockwell, who we mentioned for Three Billboards for Best Supporting Actor. And then really quickly for Best Director, you have Christopher Nolan for Dunkirk, Jordan Peele for Get Out, Greta Gerwig for Lady Bird, Paul Thomas Anderson for Phantom Thread, and Guillermo del Toro, The Shape of Water. Five very strong directors. That should be a tough one to call.
When are the awards?
March 4th, I think.
That far away.
Yeah, it's the first week in March, whatever that Sunday is.
I thought they were closer together.
No, they always give it like 5 or 6 weeks, so there can be some hype. So
hype.
A little bit of hype. All right, that's it, everybody. We'll come back and we'll close things off. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN. That's it. There's no more. We've given all we have to give.
You have been eating Skittles for the last hour, by the way. That's a share size.
You bought them. It'd be rude to waste them.
I don't like them.
We bought them for a scientific experiment.
Do they all taste the same?
Yeah.
Good.
Come taste the same.
Delicious.
Mm-hmm. All right, everybody.
You've been eating them through the whole show, though.
I know. And I'm almost out. Tomorrow's Malted Milk Ball Day. Tomorrow, you know, for all of you who complain and go, why don't you ever have any adult film stars from the 1980s on? Tomorrow's your day. Seika, the great Seika, joins us at 10:35 to talk about all things dirty.
All right. I'll be here.
It's going to be fun. All right. That's it, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. Bye, Wendy.
See you, Bill.